Welcome or welcome back to Turner Syndrome Talking Tea with your host, Emily Seymour. What I hope for this podcast is, I hope it makes people affected by Turner Syndrome feel less alone. And I hope it spreads awareness on Turner Syndrome because it really needs it. I have a lot of different perspectives on Turner Syndrome in this podcast, from ladies themselves with Turner Syndrome, to mums, to dads, to doctors, a lot of different experiences with Turner Syndrome. So there's something here for everyone. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hi everyone, welcome back. So we've got Chanel here with us. Hi Chanel.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, I'm good, thank you. Yeah. Where are we talking to you from?
From Montreal, Canada, actually.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, so I want to ask you a few things about Turner's, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
What's your relationship with Turner Syndrome?
Well, I would say it changed a lot over the years. I'm 33, and when I was a kid, especially like elementary-aged kid, I kind of hated it because I got bullied a lot for being short. But there weren't a lot of different people at my school. Everybody was kind of the same, so I was like the major outlier. So that said, that was tougher when I was in elementary school. And when I was a teenager, high school was a lot better for me.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yes, it's weird. Like usually you hear a lot of people that, oh, I was bullied in high school, blah, blah, blah. No, in my case, it was elementary school. High school, everybody left me alone. But my relationship with Turner's in high school was, I had issues with looking younger than my age.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
When I was 16, people would tell me I looked like I was 12. And honestly, as a 16-year-old, when people tell you you look like you're 12, you kind of want to punch them in the face inside you, right?
That's really interesting because a lot of times people tell you just like embrace it because there'll come an age when you don't look young. But that's really interesting you said that.
Yeah, I mean, I really started embracing it when, you know, I was getting closer to 30. And people would think I was like in my early 20s, like, hey, I'll take it. You don't think I'm a little kid anymore. If you think I'm a few years younger, I don't mind all that much anymore.
Yeah, you know, I get that, because you're still viewed as, yeah, I completely get that, because you're still viewed as maybe not as intelligent as you actually are, because you look younger.
Not necessarily as intelligent, but not taken as seriously.
Yeah.
As you should be, right? Like I'm, especially in Quebec, where I'm from, 16 is when you graduate high school, right? And 12 is when you start high school. I love people, oh, you're a seventh grader. No, I'm not a seventh grader. I'm an 11th grader, and I'm graduating high school this year. Like,
I'm sorry you went through bullying. That's not nice at all, but I'm glad you're on the other side of that. And what age were you diagnosed?
I was diagnosed when I was 8. Eight or nine, I think. I was diagnosed a year I turned 9, but I think I hadn't turned 9 yet when I was diagnosed back in 99. My mom really had to be my advocate. She knew something was up.
Yeah.
You know, I was shorter than everybody else. Like I was in the third grade, but I was the height of an average first grader. And she would always ask my pediatrician, like, you know, run some tests, do something. And he was like, "Well, Miss Papin, you're short. She's short because you're short."
That's tricky, isn't it? Because then there
It
isn't such a difference.
No, it's because I was, even without CS, I probably wouldn't be that tall. Like, my mom is 5'3", 5'4". She's taller than I am, but barely. Like, when I wear heels, I'm her height, right? But yeah, and when I was, and also, like, I remember my pediatrician testing my nails
Okay.
to see if they were weak and if they would break easily, checking my neck. But mine, I don't, I do have a neck. Like, so some girls, they have really, really short necks with TS. I was like, no, she's fine. But yeah, when I was 9, he finally got some blood tests done. And oh, surprise, surprise, I had TS.
What's your most challenging aspect of tennis, would you say?
Oh, sorry, could you say that again?
What's your most challenging aspect of tennis, would you say?
Most challenging. Was it when it changed over the years again? Like, when I was younger, I was getting bullied, but now I would say it's dealing with celiacs. Back in the days, back in the 90s, when I was diagnosed, and well, in the late 90s, early 2000s, they had no idea a lot of us were celiac, but now they know. And I was diagnosed with celiacs. I was 27. And I would say now this is the most challenging aspect.
Yeah, from what I've heard, it's very intricate, as in you have it's in everything.
Well, I mean, in the UK, because I've traveled quite a bit to the UK, I find you guys have it easier for gluten-free food. You're more aware. I wasn't as scared to have my food crust contaminated when I traveled to the UK. But in Canada, we're still like a few years behind. It's getting better. Like, I was diagnosed 6 years ago, and now when I go like grocery shopping, I have a lot more gluten-free options. So as of now, this is pretty much the most challenging aspect. Even though I was never like, also another challenging aspect, even though I was never like officially diagnosed with it, I've been reading a lot about it, and I check a lot of the boxes. I would say NLD or NVLD, whatever to call it. Nonverbal learning disability. Now I understand reading that, I understand a lot better some of the challenges I faced academically, and a lot more I understand the strengths I had academically. Ask me to learn a new language, I would do that any day. To learn a new sport, especially a team sport. Thank you. So,
Okay, going on from that, what's your most positive experience?
I would say connecting with other people that have TS. The first person other person I met who had TS, it was back in 2017. So from 1999
Long time.
2017, I didn't know anybody else who
Wow.
had TS. My mom was really like, "I want you, her philosophy is, I want you to think you're normal, and I don't want your life to be a pity party." So we weren't really involved or anything with the TS community when I was growing up, but during the pandemic, I had nothing to do. I'm a flight attendant, so basically I was grounded for almost 2 years during the pandemic. So I was like, hey, on Facebook, I just looked up like Turner syndrome groups or things like that. And I made good friends with, are you on Sarah's group as well? Like the WhatsApp group?
I
With
don't
the
actually know. I don't know. I might be. I'm on a WhatsApp group,
Yeah. There's this Finnish girl reached out to me. She's like, yeah, we have like a group. We're a group of like TS women from all around the world. We have a WhatsApp chat if you want to join it. I was like, yeah, sure.
oh, wow.
That's it. And it
It's a
was,
long time to not meet anyone with Turners.
I
I
know.
mean, obviously, I had your reasons. Yeah, that's a long time. So, how has the either the US Support Society or the community helped you?
Well, mainly answering questions, finding out about NLD.
Yeah.
I had no idea what it was. I just remember my endocrinologist asking me, like back in 2008. It was like my last few visits before I turned 18. So it was like 2007, 2008. She was asking me, like, sometimes do you have trouble like reading people's emotions or understanding like nonverbal language or nonverbal communication, I should say. And I was like, well, I don't know. I don't know, what would that mean? And then she just kind of brushed it off, and we
Yeah.
talked about like, my birth control and how that was going. And but just reading about it, oh wow, I checked all of, well, not all of the boxes, but I checked a lot of the boxes about it.
So, what's your involvement in the society or community?
I wrote a quick blog post for Ragdolls.
Oh.
Yeah, like during the pandemic, when I decided to reach out and look up information. And I also shot a few like a quick video about my diagnosis story for the US Society.
Oh, cool.
I think it's still up on YouTube. And yes, sometimes it's gonna be answering questions on Facebook. On a lot of the groups, sometimes we have like parents of TS tweens or teens, they've just been diagnosed, and the parents are kind of like freaking out, looking for reassurance. Sometimes I do answer like a few questions, going like, yeah, I'm 33, I have TS, I'm fine, I'm doing good.
Yeah, yes, it's reassuring, I think, when you see people older than you, and then you think, okay, it's actually going to be okay.
Yeah, I'm actually having dinner with one of my mom's coworkers tonight, and she's in her 50s and she has TS.
Oh,
Yeah, they said
wow.
she was also, she's my height. We're both 4'11", and like she started talking it to my mom, and she's like, oh yeah, I have this condition with it's as with my chromosomes. And my mom was like, oh, is it TS? And she was like, how on earth do you know about TS? And my mom was like, my daughter has it too.
Oh my gosh. It's such a small world, for want of a better phrase. But it really is.
It is.
It really is. What's your most important message on Turners, would you say?
Yeah, my it would be the same message my mom has always told me from the moment I was diagnosed. That yeah, you're not qu well, just quite like everybody else, but everybody has something that makes them different. And that's, in a way, it's what makes us all the same, right?
Yeah,
We're
I like
all
that.
a bit different. Everybody at some point or another during their lifetime is going to have health issues to deal with. And that's it. When, if you know one person with TS, well, you've met one person with TS. You haven't met all of us, right?
No, and I really like that actually, because then that shows that not everything is the same.
No, that's it. And also, is it true? I was reading some info about just about NLD, nonverbal learning disability, and it's also true for that. You've met one of us. Well, you've met one of us.
It might be related, it might not be, but your message to send, like, really is nice for that, to kind of like, it might not happen to you. As in, like, maybe the heart condition that's common within the Turners community, people might freak out and think, oh my God, I'm gonna get it, but you might not. So I really like that message.
Yeah, I have one of my good friends who has TS in Montreal. She was diagnosed before birth because of a heart defect. And she's younger, she's a year younger than me, so she's 32. And she's on the same kinds of pills. Like the pills she takes are the same my 95-year-old grandfather takes. For because he had a stroke a few years back, and he's been on the same kinds of pills, right? So it really depends. I'm, knock on woods, my heart checkups have always been fine, so.
Yeah, good, good. Is there anything else you'd like to add to your episode before we finish?
No, I think we've covered it all.
Good, good. I'm glad we met, and I'm glad you wanted to say everything that you wanted to say. And yeah, I'm really glad to meet you, Chanel, and everyone listening. I'll see you next week.
Yeah, and nice meeting you too, Emily. Thank you.
100%. I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you want to know more about Turners, go to www.tss.org.uk. And that is the website for the official Turner Syndrome Support Society UK charity. Or you can go back to my first ever episode on this podcast where I explain what Turners is and how it's affected me. So, I hope you have a really great week, and I will see you in the next episode.